talking today with Michelle Miller, who's involved with agriculture now in the state of Iowa. But, you know, growing up, Michelle, you actually lived in Wisconsin and had kind of some fun down on the farm, not actually with your own farm, but a neighbor's farm.
Yep, that's true. One of my very good friends had a farm growing up. So every day after school, we would go ride horses and do chores on her grandparents' soybean farm. And, you know, I was a 4-H kid growing up, so it was something I was always pretty interested in as a you know, growing up.
When you got out of school, you actually didn't stay in rural America. You kind of went to the big city. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was funny. You know, when you're in high school, they give you those aptitude tests that tell you what you should be. And, you know, your career counselor tells you what you should maybe major in. And everything pointed to agriculture. They said, you should stay in farming. And I says, no, I'm going to move to L.A. So I ignored all that and became a big city girl. So I spent about the next 12 years of my life living in Los Angeles and Chicago. And I actually worked in fashion, so I worked for Gucci on Rodeo Drive, going from the rodeo to the rodeo and all sorts of fun stuff in between. So
now, you know, as you did that, that means that you were being bombarded by a lot of these messages about, you know, the world of whole foods, the whole of natural and organic and all these kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you live in a big city or you're in downtown L.A., you're about as far removed from the farm as you can get. So over time, I had seen some so-called documentaries and had read some stuff online and some scary marketing tactics. And I thought that if I wasn't eating all organic, non-GMO, that I was not doing the right thing. And I spent thousands of dollars only shopping at, you know, Whole Foods and, you know, buying everything hormone and antibiotic free. And I was really, really misled through marketing.
Now, along the way, eventually you happened to meet a farmer from Iowa.
Yes, I did. I lived, you know, in Florida and Chicago. And when I was down in Florida, I had met my now boyfriend. I've known him now for about 5 years, and we've been together for almost four. But, yeah, I met him, and we live together now. We work together on the farm. And everything that I've learned from him as a fifth-generation farmer and his family, I realized that everything I thought I knew, I was absolutely wrong about. So now I work to bridge the gap between farmers and consumers and help people understand that our food supply is not scary at all, and encourage people to talk to farmers and not necessarily listening to the marketing and the media journalism and everything that's out there that is usually used to sell something or push an agenda. Yeah.
Now the Statewide Women in Agriculture Conference, you're talking about this whole idea of being an advocate, trying to really set the record straight on several issues. You know, we've got a lot of things that are out there, antibiotics, all natural, GMO or GMO free, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. All these things are out there that are being, as you mentioned, in a lot of cases are marketing ploys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's no secret that there's over 90% of, you know, certain crop farmers growing GMOs. And the reason for that is because it allows farmers to grow more crop on less land while preserving and conserving resources. So through no-till farming, we've helped with erosion. We've helped with soil fertility. A lot more farmers are switching to crop rotation, cover crops. There's so many great things going on with the soil health and crop rotation, which we weren't able to do in decades past. And, you know, we've eliminated our use of insecticides. We're using safer herbicides. There's so many great things going on with GMOs. And, you know, it's unfortunate because the science is sound. Scientists and farmers get it. But there's so much money and loud things being said on the other side of things, which are, you know, usually funded by the organic industry. The organic industry is now valued at $60+ billion a year. And by leading with fear, they're essentially pushing to the wrong type of crop. Non-GMO crops mean more pesticides. It means worse for the environment. And a lot of times non-GMO and organic food comes from overseas. So if we want to continue to support the environment and move forward with the future of our planet while conserving resources, we need to support our own farmers and the technology, not being supporting farmers from overseas. Mm-hmm. I mean, corporations can buy organic grains overseas from China for pennies on the dollar. Well, who's making the money? I mean, the corporations, they're not looking out for our best interests. They're looking out to make money.
Let's talk on the animal agriculture side of things. There's some things that really we need to be paying better attention to as well. The antibiotic issue, a hormone issue.
Yeah, you know, I think that the antibiotic resistance has been kind of a hot topic in agriculture at the moment. But there are a lot of steps moving forward for that to help that issue. The FDA has cracked down on a lot of antibiotics. As of the end of this year, a lot of growth promoting antibiotics will be phased out or will require veterinary prescription to use. And the ones important in human medicine have been phased out. And it seems as though the industry is moving a lot more towards preventative care instead of antibiotics, more so with new vaccine innovations. And I mean, you know, animals are our livelihood. We care about their health more than anybody could ever imagine. And I think the farmers are always going to be the ones to care to put our animal health first. So Right. Something we all needed to address.
Right. As you talk to groups like our ladies here in the state of Oklahoma, the Statewide Women's and Agriculture Conference, what advice do you have to them in being able to tell the ag story more effectively?
I would encourage everybody to really get out and tell their story and to not be too fearful of it. I know when I first started with my page Farm Babe, I thought that I was going to get a lot of pushback from like animal rights activists and anti-GMO activists, but it's actually been not that bad. And, you know, we've got the science on our side and people are well-intentioned. They're just misinformed. They fell into the same habits and patterns that I did when I was a big city. So you can't blame them for being misinformed. They just don't know because they probably don't even know what a combine looks like. I mean, they just are very disconnected. So you have to remember that. Put yourself in their shoes that these aren't stupid people. They just don't know because they've never been around it. So it's up to us to tell our story before the other people do.
Temple Granlin, one of the things that she said that she's been preaching for a while about is the fact that we need to be more transparent in animal agriculture and really all of agriculture. Is that something that you kind of agree with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people want to know. They want to hear from us, the farmers. They're less concerned with the science and the studies. They're just concerned about, you know, why it is we do what we do on our farms and, you know, why we grow GMOs and why we use hormones and antibiotics. And there's so many great things that have a negative stigma based on the fact that they sound scary. But there's always a method to the madness. If there's a system in place that allows us to grow more food using less resources, I mean, we're going to have to feed 9 billion people and prevent deforestation and conserve the earth. And these are all things that farmers are working towards. And we need to get out there and be excited about it and share that. Consumers don't always trust the government and they don't trust corporations, but they do trust farmers that have good morals and values that really care about what we're doing.